Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to gather together, Lord. As we come into the Memorial Weekend, we think of this country and the blessings you've bestowed us in the past. Lord, that we reflect on our actions currently, that it will determine the blessings we receive from you in the future. Lord, may we remember that in the memorial season, as the church, Lord, we've seemed to lost our voice in this country. We've seemed to thrown away our position of influence, Lord, but may we regain that once again. May we remember who we've been called to be, Lord, that we stand up for you, we stand up for your word, and we stand up for the principles that matter to you. That we can once again say, God bless America, instead of hiding and cringing at what we see on TV and what we see on the news, longing for your return because things have gotten so bad here that it's become agonizing. Lord, this country is great when you are its focal point, but when we say God is dead, then this nation is doomed to die. Lord, may we remember that this Memorial Weekend. Thank you for those who've served this country. Lord, thank you for those who've served our allied countries around the world. Lord, that you be with them this Memorial Weekend. We thank you, we love you, and we praise you. Amen.
So we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 3 this morning. It's on 1118 in the Pew Bibles. Just seemed appropriate to look at this text with some of the events that have transpired this week and in the last few weeks, and just transpired just in general. So I'm going to read verses 10 through 18. It says, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Heavenly Father, as we come to this passage and we see your diagnosis of the human heart apart from Christ, Lord, we see the reason for so much of the anger, the anguish, the vile things that happen in this nation, in this world. Lord, we are a nation that needs to turn to you in ways we never have before. We are a nation filled with churches that need to turn to you in a way they never have before, that need to call people to Christ, need to call sin what it is. Because truly, that is the problem in this nation today. We have a sin problem that we refuse to acknowledge and look at. So Lord, as we look at this passage, I pray that it helps us to understand why tragedies occur, why mass shootings occur, why psychotic people can do the things they do. But yet at the same time, Lord, we know that you are in control. We know that we can always trust in you. You are never changing. Lord, we are thankful for that. Amen. So this week, we had another tragic event in our nation. I felt like it was time to preach on this topic. A depraved, deranged, sick individual in Texas shot his grandmother and then went and shot and killed over 20 people at a school. And we hear of these things and we wonder, how does this happen? We wonder, why does this happen? And you turn on the news. Almost instantly, the blame game begins. Almost instantly, the political conniving and posturing begins. And it's the same old story. Blame the weapon. Blame the other political party. Blame the police. Blame everyone and everything except the dirtbag who took the lives. Look for any reason except the one reason that actually is the truth. So what I want to do this morning is answer the question of why do these things happen? Why do we have school shootings? Why do we turn on the news almost daily and see stories of people being shot in Toledo? You know, Toledo is one of the most dangerous cities in the nation when you look at per capita murder rates. Columbus, one of the most dangerous cities in the nation when you look at per capita death murder rates. You know, every Monday, you can turn on the TV or you can do a little searching and find the weekly homicide toll for Chicago, which is the most dangerous city. Last year, 797 homicides in Chicago. Just one city. And also interesting to note that it has one of the strictest gun laws in the entire nation. But as soon as any one of these shootings occurs, we're inundated by the drumbeat of pass more laws, pass more gun laws. That's the only way it's going to stop, as if murder isn't already illegal. But do statistics actually bear that out? When you get into the statistics, they don't. You know, the U.S. actually rates per capita pretty low on the list of gun homicides and murder rates per year. When you do it per capita, the problem is when you've got a nation of 350 million people and you're comparing it to a nation of 5 million or 8 million or 10 million, and you say, oh, we have a couple thousand and they have five. Well, yeah, we're how many times bigger? But yet we're led to believe that this nation is horrible. You know, the U.S. has this infatuation with guns. Well, if it isn't the gun's fault, whose fault is it? Now, October last year, a man in Norway took a bow and arrow, killed five people, and injured three others. 2017 in France, you probably remember the bridge attack. Some three psychos took vans and drove through a crowd and got out and started stabbing people. Charlottesville, Virginia, 2017. Guy drove into a crowd, killed one, injured dozens. Waukesha, Wisconsin, last December, Christmas parade. Nut job drives a car through a barricade into a crowd. Six killed, over 50 injured. And there's so many other gruesome attacks that we can talk about. How can a person do that? How does an 18-year-old walk into a school? How does an 18-year-old shoot his grandma in the face? And then how does he go from there and walk into a school and indiscriminately murder these young children? That's why I titled this message, What is Going On? And is it getting worse? Because that's what we keep hearing. It's getting worse. It's so much worse than it used to be. You know, is there a way to change the trajectory this nation is on? Is this something new? And as always, what we have to do is we have to look to Scripture. We don't look to politicians. We don't look to the news. We don't look to the talking heads or the wackos on The View or Good Morning America or any of these other goofy shows. So I want to first answer the question, is this something new? To answer that, we need to go back to the beginning. Who was the first person to be born in the history of the world?
Cain.
Exactly. Adam and Eve were created by God, apart from the womb. Then sometime later, Eve becomes pregnant with Cain and then with Abel. After that, they have multiple other children. But we just need to focus on the first two. What happened to Cain and Abel? Cain became jealous and he kills Abel. The first person ever to be born killed the second person ever to be born. This murder problem has existed for as long as mankind has existed. And even Adam and Eve schemed against God and ate the forbidden fruit in the garden. So what's the reason? What's the reason for the death? What's the reason for the anger? What's the reason for the hatred? Well, to answer that, again, we need to go to God's Word. And I want to read what he says, because, you know, I can tell you what I think. I can tell you what the really smart people think. I can tell you what the politicians think. But none of that matters at all. All that matters is what God has said. So whenever we look at current issues in society, whenever we look at what culture says is a good thing or what culture says is a bad thing, what culture says I should be able to do based on, you know, my own desire to do it, I need to step back, look at God's Word and say, what does God actually say about this? If you're a Christian, this is how you must approach life. Go to God's Word, because if you simply look to yourself for wisdom, you're not going to find any. Because as God's Word says, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. It's not the thoughts of me that are the beginning of wisdom. It's not your thoughts that are the beginning of wisdom. So I want to look at just a series of verses that will help us to understand what's happening in American society. And if you want to jot down the references. As I read them, I want you to see them for what they are. They're God's diagnosis of the human heart. And he has a perfect x-ray machine, which is his own knowledge. And he's taken a picture of what the unregenerate human heart is truly like. Genesis 6, 11 through 13. The earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Psalm 5, 9. There is no truth in their mouth. Their inmost self is destruction. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Psalm 14. This is the April 1st Psalm, Psalm 14. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. You know, April Fool's Day. This is the scripture for that day. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They've all turned aside. Together they've become corrupt. There's none who does good. Not even one. Sounds a lot like Romans 3. There's a reason for that. Psalm 51. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I want to just stop there for a second. That does not mean the act of conception was sinful. That means that from conception, that is a soul that has that, you know, if you want to call it original sin, that inherited sin from Adam. And guess what? When I read that, Brenda and I went on a walk, and I told her, I said, I was compiling this, and Psalm 51 hit me. It's another pro-life verse in Scripture. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. The psalmist is saying that from the moment of conception, I had a soul that was accountable to God. It's another where God is saying, don't kill babies. Psalm 130, verse 3. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? Jeremiah 13:23, can the Ethiopian change his skin or leper change his spots? Then also, can you do good who are accustomed to doing evil? Matthew 15:19, out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. John 3:19-20, we always look at John 3:16, but everyone forgets there's some verses after that really put that verse into context. 3:19-20. This is the judgment. The light, Jesus, has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light. Why? Because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, yet lest his works should be exposed. So in that, and there's a lot more we could read, but in that short list of verses, we see the reason for the hatred, the anger, the murder culture that is so prevalent in our world today. And it's been so prevalent since the beginning of time. Now, theologians have a word for this. It's called human depravity. And the Bible tells us we are totally depraved. Depravity means wickedness or evil. It's the total wickedness of the human heart apart from God. Scripture puts it this way in Genesis 6:5. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? You know, the depravity is not this terrible thing that happens from time to time when a person loses their temper or loses their sanity. You know, depravity, wickedness and evil. It's not the condition of a minority of humans. You know, depravity, wickedness, godlessness, evil. It's the normal state of affairs of the unrepentant, unsaved, unregenerate, not born again person. Spiritually, morally, socially, the scripture paints one consistent picture of the heart of unregenerate man in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. That is depravity. It's a depraved heart. You know, and I get it. You know, Dr. Phil or psychologists, historians, psychiatrists, sociologists, educators, even preachers are guilty of teaching us that man is getting better. Man is basically good. You know, man is capable of great and unbelievable goodness. They want to paint this picture of the utopia that this world could be, you know, this world could just be this wonderful utopia if we just got rid of a few of the bad apples in society. And as we'll continue to learn on Wednesday evening, is the world getting better as we go on, Nate? That is not what Scripture tells us. We're on a downhill trajectory. Let's just put it that way. I don't want to get into this too much this morning, but I want to quickly say in passing, you know, I said that people believe, oh, if you get rid of a few of the bad apples in society, things would be great. That's exactly the reason that Margaret Sanger gave for starting the organization that would eventually become Planned Parenthood. This is a quote from a letter written by her in 1939. She says, "We do not want word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population. And the minister is the man who can straighten out that idea if it ever occurs to any of their more rebellious members." That is written from her to Dr. C.J. Gamble, December 10th, 1939. It's part of the letter. Margaret Sanger was a racist piece of human filth who hated people with a different melanin level than her. And she wanted to exterminate them through, as she called it, birth control. She saw them as bad apples that need to be removed from society so that society could improve. And if you get into reading what she wrote, she is a disgusting person. This is tame compared to some of the stuff she wrote about people who have a different skin color than us sitting in this room. And I've said at some point I'm going to preach on the Old Testament false god Moloch. Nate and I have talked, his dad brought it up a little bit here Wednesday evening. And his tie to modern day abortion, this Moloch character, the tie to modern day abortion, I'm going to include the racist root to modern day infanticide in the U.S. because I think it's important that we know it as a church. But this is what happens when the idea of let's just get rid of the bad apples is allowed to continue. Look back to Hitler. What was he doing? Now get rid of the inferior race. See, the problem is that the person who determines who the bad apple is always a depraved person. And I need to say, because a lot of people recoil from this truth, that man has inherited total depravity through our bloodline. We've earned that. We've inherited through Adam. Total depravity doesn't mean that a person is as bad as they can be. It doesn't. That's where the confusion comes in. Total depravity means that every person has within them the ability to be the most wretched, disgusting, sinful person who has ever lived. It's exactly what McShane, the quote that Patrick often uses from Reverend Murray McShane, where he says, "I have within me the root of every sin." It's exactly what he's talking about. He's talking about total human depravity. The root is there. Every person who is apart from Christ has within them the natural ability. This isn't something unnatural. This is the natural ability to make Hitler, Mussolini, Pol Pot, Saddam Hussein look like choir boys. You know, as a kid, our Friday nights consisted of making popcorn, having a can of pop, watching The Dukes of Hazzard and The Incredible Hulk. That was Friday evenings growing up. You know, and the real Incredible Hulk was Lou Ferrigno, and the good one. Now, if you remember the storyline, Bruce Banner, he's this mild-mannered, you know, nice guy scientist who had a little bit of an anger management issue. You know, he'd get angry, turn green, break everything. That's how we see ourselves. That's how we think mankind is. Basically, you know, we're like Bruce Banner. Basically and essentially good. You know, a few bad habits. Situations that hold us down and keep us from being that good guy all the time. Well, that's not what God says. The Bible tells us that apart from Christ, we're more like the Incredible Hulk than we are like Bruce Banner. And that from time to time, we're capable of doing some good things. Listen to what Jesus himself said, Matthew 15:19. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemies. What Jesus doesn't say there is that these things are the result of bad peer groups or from a TV show or from Satan. They may be influenced by those things, and they certainly are, but they're rooted in an evil heart. You know, don't think, he's just talking about bad people. The good people are different, you know, the ones that haven't killed anyone. You know, that's our verse for this morning, Romans 3:10, none is righteous, not even one. So when that kid shot up that school, he was not inhuman. He was the epitome of human, totally depraved and wicked. Did Satan cause him to do it? No, not at all. Satan was laughing all the way. Satan was having a wonderful old time, but he wasn't responsible. It came straight from a depraved heart. So why are we so surprised when these tragedies occur? Well, because we want to believe that all humans are basically good. Because we still expect good out of people. This one's the hardest to take. We don't accept God's diagnosis of the unregenerate human heart. How do we remedy this? Is there any hope? So that's the question, is there any hope? A scene from Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe comes to mind when the kids are in despair and, you know, you got all the talking animals and they ask the beaver, is there any hope? And he says, oh, there's a mite bit more than hope. And that's what we've got. We've got a mite bit more than hope. Psalm 121, 1 and 2. I lift my eyes up to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. The only hope we have in this life, in this world filled with depraved people, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only hope we have to change this depraved world is the good news of Jesus Christ. See, we live in a world where our children are taught that they're the product of millions and millions of years of chance through evolutionary process. This is one of the reasons why we are a creation, seven-day literal creation church. We live in a world where kids are taught, no, you're the product of chance. You know, they're taught it's just dumb luck that you're not at the bottom of the food chain. They're taught they're the product of time and chance. Well, that goes directly against what the Bible teaches. The Bible tells us God numbered each of our days. The Bible teaches God formed us in our mother's womb. The Bible tells us we're created in His image. You're not a mistake. The world will tell you an unborn child has no value. California, trying to pass a law where a child can be quote-unquote aborted after they've been born. If that isn't disgusting, I don't know what is. But if you've already said that that little life has no value in the womb, how does it gain life once it leaves the womb? You've already said there is no value in human life. So how can you say once it leaves the womb it's got value? So what's wrong? You know, what's wrong in their minds with killing it once it's born compared to once it's, or before it's been born? Science says, we don't have to go to scripture for this. Science says that is a life from conception. Secular science. You know, the people say, oh, you've made this a religious issue. That's not. It's a scientific issue. I mean, it is a theological issue, but science, you know, we hear all this, the science is settled. Well, yeah, science has been settled, but that's a life. But see, the sick politicians in California, they know that's a baby in the womb. They know that's what they're killing. So what does it matter if you kill it after it's been born? And that spits in the face of God. We are commanded not to murder, yet we're told by certain people that it's fine because it's a personal choice. Now, kids are being taught boys aren't necessarily boys and girls aren't necessarily girls. You can be whatever you want. You know what? You want to be a puppy dog today? Wear a tail and go drink out of a water dish. Apparently, as one teacher told us, use a trash can as a bathroom. That goes against God's word, because Jesus himself, Matthew 19:4, have you not read? He who created them from the beginning made them male and female. That's it. There's male or female. Period. Children are no longer punished in school for being little monsters. God's word, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, even when he's old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 13:24, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. God calls for loving discipline in the life of a child so that when that child grows, he or she will understand authority and actually be a productive member of society. So the real question is, how can we be surprised when people who were raised to doubt everything about God in the Bible, many of whom were even taught that in a church by a pastor, they were taught to deny the truth of God's word. You know, it's just a book, just a dusty old book written by some guys a couple thousand years ago. What do they know about today? They're taught to think that they're smarter than God. Taught to think that God is going to have to answer to them. These kids are taught life has no value. And it even goes farther than that. They're taught that animal life has more value than human life. They're taught that God has made all these mistakes, and then we sit here surprised when they live out everything they've been taught. How in the world preach that human life has no value and then be surprised when a depraved person sees no value in human life and has no problem taking human life? You know, we don't have a gun problem. We don't have a problem where good people do bad things. We don't have a problem with Satan causing people to do something bad. We don't have an issue with people watching violence on TV. We don't have a... What we do have, we have a problem with weak churches led by weak men filled with weak people who will not call out sin as sin. We have a problem with people in the church being in love with the world and falling for these lies that have been pushed onto the church. It's foolishness to think that you can go with pride against God and say, I'm right and you're wrong. And then be surprised when God pulls back his hand of restraint from a nation. See, the reason a depraved person isn't as sinful as they can be, you know, depravity just means you have it within you, but doesn't mean you act it all out. The reason you don't act it all out is because God restrains you, or God restrains the unregenerate person. But as people, including those who want to call themselves Christians, continually tell God no, constantly tell him he is wrong, you know, but I'm right, even though Scripture is very clear. God will turn those people over to their own depraved mind and allow them to fulfill the evil desires of their own hearts. You know, we're not going to go into it this morning, but study Romans 1, verses 18 to 32, and you'll see this three times in that passage. It says God gave them over. And it's all about all the sin that people are committing and the things we're seeing in our society. You're going to see them in those verses. And in those verses, it's an evidence of God pulling back his hand of blessing from a nation. So how do we fix the problem? We turn to God. It starts with me and you. We strengthen our relationship with God. But at the same time, we call others to Christ. You know, is the only hope. But it starts in the local church. This is why the local church is so important. Until the local church purges that which is not of God, can never expect to have any effect on society around it. And it all starts with knowing the Lord. If you know Him as your Lord and Savior, continue to grow in Him. If you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior, you're being controlled by that depraved mind. You're still in sin, and you need to, this very morning, confess your sin to Him, repent of that sin, trust His death on the cross as the full and final payment for your sin debt to God. And only when that begins can we ever have any hope that society will ever get any better. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we live in a sin-cursed world. And it's evident every time we turn on the news. But Lord, it does not help us any to ignore the problem, ignore the root of the problem, to try to explain away the root of the problem. Lord, the true root is the sinfulness of man. Lord, apart from You, there is no good in us. And this isn't just something where, oh, there's some people who are worse than others. Lord, we're all that bad. All of us inherited that spiritual death from Adam. And it is that spiritual death that is the depravity. It's not that we're sick and just need a little help along the way. It's that we are truly, fully, completely separated from You. Without any hope, unless we know You as Lord and Savior. That condition of separateness from You is one that we inherited from birth. No person can get around it. No person can work their way out of it. The only way to remedy that problem is through trusting that as Jesus hung on the cross, that our sin was placed on Him. And His suffering paid the debt that we owe to God. People do that. Society sees the effects of the gospel in the world. Can we ever hope to see these things improve? Or we live in a society that just decades ago at least had a respect for You. Certainly we didn't have I don't believe we had a higher rate of Christians in the world at the time. It's just that more people knew about Your word and respected Your word. And respected You, even if they didn't have a relationship with You. Certainly that's the effect that we see in Jesus' parable of the mustard seed that starts out small but becomes the biggest plant in the garden, giving everything there, shade, giving food to the birds. And that that's how we can be also as a church. Lord, I pray that would be our desire. I pray that it would be our desire to clearly remind the world that we don't have a gun problem. We don't have a police rights problem or a police abuse problem. We don't have any of these things. We have a sin problem. Lord, we need to call it what it is. Thank you and praise you. Amen.